Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, whiny liberals. Good morning to you. Good morning to you wealthy liberals who think that civil rights is just how you treat your nanny and whether or not, you know, hey, we let her use her own car. We have a car we used to have for the kids, and we let her use it. So, people, good morning to you, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
Look, the indictments are coming down today. That is the word on the street, my friends. How do you like that? Indictments in the CIA leak case are expected to be handed down today. So we're going to find out, folks. All this speculating, all this conjecturing, whatever you want to call it, we're going to find out. Is it perjury? Is it conspiracy? Is it treason or perhaps murder?
Where's Johnny K Street when we need
it? That's right. Maybe it's murder. Do you think there's going to be any charges for murder, Mark Riley?
No, no charges for murder. But there are going to be some charges that will, I think, surprise some people. Some people will be indicted that maybe most Americans don't know, but who were really up to their neck in this dirty business.
Who will it be? Will it be Libby? Will it be Rove? Will it be Cheney? Call in with your ideas, 866-303-2270. Why not? Call in. Tell
Who's
me what
going
the charge.
Down?
What would you like to see happen? A public hanging or perhaps a beheading? Yes, let them behead them. That's what I say. If indictments come down, the Republicans are certainly going to come down on Patrick Fitzgerald, a man of integrity, a man who is doing the honest work. That's what I say, Riley. Listen to this, though. Listen to this, though. This is good stuff. In a CNN USA Today Gallup poll on the plane investigation, 90%, folks, 90% of you believe Bush administration officials acted illegally or unethically in connection with the leaking of a CIA operative's identity. 90%. 39% said some administration officials acted illegally in the matter. 39% said some. What? 39% stupid people. 39% said administration officials acted unethically but did nothing illegal.
And therein lies the only hope of George W. Bush's salvation, with that 39% who say they did something unethical but not illegal. Because as we learned with Iran-Contra during the second term of Ronald Reagan, if you couch certain things in, for example, national security, ending communism, or that sort of thing, you can get the American people to buy into a little bit of unethical conduct, a little bit of tweaking of the rules, if it's for the larger good purpose. And that's the only chip he's got left.
Will it be murder, treason, perjury? I think it's going to be one of the above. Maybe two. Conspiracy. How about conspiracy? I think that might be it. Look, if you've got any ideas, well, we'll talk to you all in just a few seconds. But I do want you to know that President Bush and his crack bull team is preparing an offensive for what seems like an inevitable batch of indictments here. Well, at least two. I mean, we've been told by, I've read Raw Story, they say that there's definitely two coming down the pike today.
Well, let me tell you something. If we think back, let's look at a couple of prominent recent cases. What was Martha Stewart convicted of having done? She was convicted...
Inside trading, yeah?
No.
Come
she
on.
Was convicted of lying to federal prosecutors
which is
about
a, which,
insider trading.
Which is a crime, my friends.
Yes.
Don't frame it like that. These people are like, hey, you know, they're not going to indict anything that has anything to do with the actual leaking of an identity. It's all going to be, lying under oath. Well, lying under oath, crime.
Well,
crime.
Yeah. And now ask yourself this question. Dick Cheney said publicly in 2003 that he had never heard of Joe Wilson, the guy who they sent to Niger to investigate the original claim that Iraq was trying to buy uranium from the African nation of Niger.
Hmm.
Cheney said he didn't know him. If Cheney told Fitzgerald that, guess what he was doing?
Perjuring himself.
Lying to a federal prosecutor.
Perjury.
The same thing that sent Martha Stewart to jail.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Let's draw the real clear lines about what we're talking, you know.
Yeah, here's some of the tactics. First BS tactic, appoint Federal Reserve Chairman to show that it's business as usual at the old White House. Check.
And guess who sat on the committee that nominated the guy? Scooter Libby.
There you go. See, acting like no problem.
Yep.
Second, construct rationalization for the possible perjury indictment of Karl Rove. How about this one? All you guys know this. This is the guy that meticulously runs the country's political machine, and they're thinking about saying, hey, just forgot. You know, he got confused about who he talked to or didn't talk to. I mean, come on, you know, he's just a man. All right, so that's another angle they're going to take. Third, charge that perjury and obstruction charges are nonsense because they have nothing to do with who leaked the name of Valerie Plame. That's their third tactic. Now, in response to this, I think it's important to remember that the Republicans called for Clinton's head when he was accused of perjury and obstruction. But I guess when it's about sex, it's much more important than compromising national security and putting everyone in the country in danger to get revenge on somebody and send a message to people not to dissent or tell the truth about a war based on lies.
Well, what as Bill Clinton once said, that dog won't hunt. There's no way in the world they're going to be able to frame this these indictments around the notion that, well, they were supposed to look into this, and he looked into something else. That's exactly what Ken Starr did with Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Or the idea that lying to federal prosecutors is just a lack of recollection. These are the people we entrust to run the country, ladies and gentlemen. They're not supposed to have lapses of memory. They're not supposed to not to be able to recollect.
I hope it's conspiracy and treason. All right, perjury. I'll settle for perjury as long as there's many indictments. I will settle for that. I would like to know, you know, what you guys are thinking out there. If you want to call, go ahead and call anytime all day today. 866-303-2270. Are those phones open? Are those phones open, Boy Genius, John Crimmings? Are they? No? Yeah? Good. Okay. What's going on? Are your mics working? Why am I talking to myself? I can't hear you, Dan. All right. Well, that's all right. No problem. But I would like to hear from you. Hey, dig
no
this, man.
Problem.
Dig this. My wife, I talked to my wife. She's coming out today, or Friday, actually. She's coming out to see me. She says she went to the bookstore with her friend, Hillary, and bought Hillary some books. And she said she got herself a book. And I said, well, what book did you get, honey? She goes, Loving the Self-Absorbed, How to Create a More Satisfying Relationship with a Narcissistic Partner. And I'm like, wait, are you seeing somebody else? How to create a loving relationship with a narcissistic partner. This was big yucks today before work for me, is my wife telling me she bought this book. And, you know, wait till you hear this checklist. In a minute, I'll give you the destructive narcissist rating scale, okay? If this concerns you, and obviously I'm going to take up our airtime here to discuss it because, you know why? Exactly. I'm a narcissist. Did you open those phones?
The phones are open. Calls are coming in, Mark.
Now, Dan, your mic is on because I can hear you. Can everybody in America hear you, Dan Pashman?
Why don't they call in and tell us?
Dude, I had a dream that you were wearing a wig and makeup. And I was here's the dream. I was pissed off at you because you had said something somewhere around the office. And then I see you. You know, I come into work, but it's a different type of place. The place I'm working looks more like the United Nations.
Okay.
And I see you, and you're walking into work, and you've got this wig on. But I think you're a girl. I think you just got a haircut initially. But it's like a wig. It's like a frosted, kind of like two-tone kind of hair thing. You got makeup on. And I know you're just dying for people to go, hey, nice haircut. And I wasn't going to do it. So I walked up to you, and I said, you got a big mouth. And you just kept looking at me like, what about my hair?
You know, it's strange. I had a dream about you guys when I was in North Carolina. It was the strangest dream.
What was that?
I dreamt that we were asked to cover an execution.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. The woman apparently had killed a cop, and she was a big fan of the show, and she asked that we go down and cover her.
I want Mark and Mark to come down.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, and we're looking
hilarious
at each other saying, are we going to this? Are we actually going to do this?
Do you constantly look to your partner to meet your needs? Do you? Well, there's more questions. It's 15 past. I guess we'll talk to somebody on the phone about what you think the indictments are going to be. The time is near. They're coming down today. We'll check in with some more news, or maybe we'll just have fun. I don't know. You know, we're going to wing it today. How's that grab you?
Uh-oh.
15 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. Call us at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270.
Call me, doggy.
20 past the hour. Good morning, folks. Wake up, sheeple. How are you? I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. It's Air America Radio's Morning's Edition.
Yo.
Browsing through Raw Story today, it seems that they're stating that federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald has delivered at least one indictment for consideration by the grand jury. He is thought to be seeking at least two. At least. It is also thought the focus of the indictments will be in the perjury realm, the lying to investigators realm. This means that certain targets are Libyan Rove, for sure. Conspiracy charges are not out of the question. We're taking some calls. Look at you people up awake and on the phone here this morning, 866-303-2270. Yeah, and I was just getting into before we went away there, this book that my wife bought to help herself, Loving the Self-Absorbed, How to Create a More Satisfying Relationship with a Narcissistic Partner. I don't know who the hell she could be having sweeping with, but this makes me wonder. Here, look at this. Do you expect to know what your does your partner expect you to know what their needs are, what their desires are, without having to ask for it? Does your partner get upset when you're perceived to be critical or blaming? Yeah, and I'm blaming her for getting this dumb book. What the hell is this? What is this book? Why were you wearing a wig in my dream last night, Pastor? Let's ask people. Let's take some calls. Look at this, people. I wanted to see what you think the indictments are going to be. Tony, listening here in New York City. What do you think, buddy?
What's up, Tony?
Good morning, Mark. Hey, Mark. I have one comment and one question. I hope that one of the indictments is forgery for the Italian forged documents in the first place.
If they can figure out who did that, that'd be amazing.
You've been doing a lot of reading,
Tony. The thing is, if you got some guy, you know, some ambassador telling you, hey, don't look at those documents. Those documents are forgeries. You would think that Cheney, Rove, and, you know, those other guys, the White House Iraq group, would jump up and down and say, hooray, thank you for telling us that those were forged documents.
No, they were like,
now
they were,
we don't have to go to war.
Right, but they were like, no, shut up, doesn't matter. These are guys that took information from Chalabi.
And why would they so vehemently defend those forgeries if they weren't the ones that forged documents?
Well, that's a good point. They lied about everything else. They bent all the information. They listened to Ahmed Chalabi. They didn't care if the intelligence was any good, obviously. They just wanted to get people on the ground and start bombing.
Yeah,
but that's a
I
good
wonder,
point.
Did you guys hear this story about Rove sending three of his friends, three guys, over to Italy, and that shortly after they were over there meeting with Italian officials, there was some kind of break-in at the Niger embassy in Italy?
That was in early 2001. I've read that, yeah. And you're talking about Michael Ledeen and a guy named Rhodes?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know, Mark Riley, if any of the prosecutor's team has, like, questioned any of those guys?
I don't know if they've questioned them, but they've gotten the documents from the Italians. And it's significant that Fitzgerald apparently was looking for these documents a year ago.
Do the Italians admit that those documents were forgeries?
Oh, no. The Italians now know the documents are forgeries, but the Italian intelligence agency, which I think goes by the acronym SISMI, S-I-S-M-I, I think they may have had a very big hand in getting those forged documents, which I think many of them knew were forgeries at the time, to the White House.
But they were. But I think the important point that Tony brings up is that these documents, they brought them to the CIA, right? And the CIA said these are crap,
yeah,
right? And they pushed them through at the White House. I mean, that's the important thing, is that they were able to bully Tenet into giving them, you know, any kind of information they needed to justify this war eventually. But these were actually turned down by the CIA. They wouldn't even have anything to do with these, and these guys still used them. I think, Tony, I mean, if they could figure out that Americans were behind this, that would be mind-blowing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so he took off. Hey, this is fun. I like talking to people early in the morning. Ed in Los Angeles, what's going on, Ed?
How's it? What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
God, are you on an ISDN line? That sounds crystal clear.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it does. You guys sound crystal clear, too. You sound like you're right next door.
Well, guess what? Surprise!
Hey! Happy Halloween.
Oh,
not yet.
What's up, man?
Hey, I think my prediction is it's going to be Rove and Libby for obstruction of justice and lying to federal prosecutors. And I think this Patrick Fitzgerald guy,
yeah,
I think it's going to be hard for the administration to criticize this guy because
yeah,
they appointed him and
yeah,
they've said what a great job he's been doing.
Yeah, for a while.
Investigation.
For a while. Now it's like they're completely shifting their tune. It's certainly not unlike these bastards, especially if it's not the inner circle, for them to turn on somebody.
That's true, but I heard Brian Williams talking tonight on NBC Nightly News, and he was saying basically that it's going to be very tough for them to now come out and criticize this guy. So it's going to be like an about face if they do it, and it's going to be obvious.
Well, yeah, you know what? I always think that. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, Ed, because I always think that with half of the tactics these guys do to slander and smear people to get what they want or to erase what they've done. But you know what? A good part of the public buys that crap.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, you're right.
Yeah. Ed, how's the weather been out there, man? I might be heading back there soon.
Well, I'll tell you, I feel spoiled out here because I got parents who live in New Jersey, and every time I call them, they complain about how much rain you guys are getting back there.
It's rainy. Down the shore?
What's that?
It's raining. They're not down the shore, are they?
No, they're in Allendale.
Oh, okay. I know where that is.
It's been raining here for like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, thanks for calling, man.
Thanks
take it
going.
Easy.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to take one more?
Sure.
All right, Jerry in Long Island. How are you, Jerry?
What's up, Jerry?
Yeah, hi, guys. Yeah.
Hey, I would know you, Jerry. You used to call all the time when we were at the old studio.
Yeah. Well, not all the time, but at least once a week, yeah.
You have a memorable voice.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, yeah. Well, I love you guys, but I think it's important, and you know, I love the idea of Scooter Libby or Karl Rove getting indicted, but I think it's important that we do not count our chickens before they hatch, and I think it's important to remember that Fitzgerald is a Bush appointee, as was just pointed out, and by a previous caller, and also it's important to remember his voice is Alberto Torture Members Gonzalez. So I think this could end up like Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse scandal, where there was only low-level prosecutions, and perhaps this will not go up as high as Karl Rove or Scooter Libby. But this is on the positive note, it does go as high up as someone in as one of these aides like Scooter Libby. I think it would be Scooter Libby, and I think that Karl Rove, if he does not get indicted, will only be because he'll be a witness for the prosecution against Scooter Libby, and that will cause such a rift and schism in the White House that by the end of 2006. Dick Cheney will resign. His cover story will be his health, but the real reason is because of all the infighting.
Holy mackerel, Jerry, you want a job?
Yeah. You must want to be on the press or something.
Thanks for the info, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. All right. It's a little bit of a buzzkill, but I understand what he's saying. You know, it ended good. It ended with Cheney being in trouble. Jerry had a full
whole scenario.
He had a full riff going there. All right, we got the iNews 5000 coming up. If you guys want to continue calling, go ahead. It's 27 past Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Four past the hour. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
Oh, it's all going to happen. It's all going to come down. The indictment's coming down today. My wife bought me Loving the Self-Absorbed, How to Create a More Satisfying Relationship with a Narcissistic Partner today.
Hey,
what's wrong
with narcissism?
Not much. Your name again?
Enough talk about
if you're going to sit in here,
Kalo,
get on a mic, you dummy. All right. So here's some other questions about narcissism. Do you seek attention in indirect ways? Look at me. Do I?
No.
Do I? Not me, right? Do you act childish? No.
Oh, God.
No, I don't. Do I act childish? For example, sulks or pouts? No, I don't. Does your partner accuse you of being insensitive and uncaring about them without cause or notice? Are you kidding? That's how I say hello. Hey, baby, why don't you care about me? Baby, do you love me? Do you love me? What's going on over there? How come I can't get your attention? Are you reading or something? Does your partner find fault with your friends? Of course, because they're taking up my time. Right? Am I right? This is a great book for her. I hope it works out. Maybe it'll work so well she leaves me. Loving the Self-Absorbed. How could you buy a book like that? Why don't you just... You know what? I hope when I get back to L.A. she hits me with it. All right. Anyways, let's get into the real news. Kalo, you all right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were on vacation already. I mean, Kalo is actually in the studio with us, and Trent, the new guy, who, you know, apparently something went wrong a moment ago. I'm not going to blame him.
Really? What happened?
It could have been a ghost in the machine. Well, yeah, what happened was...
Ghost in the machine, that's what it was.
Yeah, ghost in the machine. Okay. I was having a conversation with Dan and John there in the studio, and it was like a silent movie. I just saw Dan, you know, his mouth was moving, and he was doing Dan faces, but nothing,
but nothing
was coming out of his... And it was actually very entertaining. I wish there was some piano music underneath it, because it looked ridiculous.
And he was yelled at him.
And he was wearing a wig, and he had makeup on. That's weird. And I kept saying, you have a big mouth. That was my dream. I dreamed that Dan had a wig on, and he had makeup on, and he was, you know, he kept.
How did I look, Mark? Seriously,
you looked hot, man.
All right, good.
Yeah, that's right. You bet, baby. All right, so let's get into this a little bit. This guy Lawrence Wilkerson, former Secretary of State Colin Powell's former chief of staff. How do you like that? Former Secretary of State Colin Powell's former chief of staff. From 2002 to 2005, you know, this is the guy that made the statement the other day accusing Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld of creating a cabal within the government that hijacked foreign policy. We talked about that the other day. Mm-hmm. Well, he continues to rail on the neocon death cult. In an op-ed in the L.A. Times, Wilkerson states that in Bush's first term, some of the most important decisions about national security were made by a secretive, little-known cabal led by Vice President Dick Cheney and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. And he made a lot of statements about these guys, and some of them incredibly frightening, but make perfect sense, and they're nothing that we haven't said on this show before. Now, apparently these guys went ahead and made decisions about big things, international policy, sometimes with Bush support, sometimes not so much with Bush's support, and they just went ahead and did it.
Well, look, we have two different operational arms that ended up actually bypassing both the CIA and the State Department with all of this disinformation. One was the Office of Special Plans that came out of Donald Rumsfeld's Defense Department.
Yeah.
The other, of course, is the White House Iraq Group. These two groups, and this is what Wilkerson is speaking to.
They were branches of the cabal?
They were the cabal.
Okay.
They were, in fact, the cabal that was used to bypass channels, and by the way, including the National Security Agency.
Condoleezza Rice was apparently steamrolled all the time by these guys, and you got this impression that she was just like, wait, fellas, could I? No.
No. And see, what we're seeing now, and this is very interesting, with Lawrence Wilkerson speaking out, and with Brent Scowcroft in the piece that's in the New Yorker this week.
President George W. H.W. Bush, National Security Advisor.
This is not in... these things, I don't think, happened by accident. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They didn't happen because the stars were in alignment. These guys, and some of them have ties, many of them have direct ties to Bush's father.
Daddy's revenge.
Bush.
That's what's happening.
This is daddy's revenge, I'm telling you.
The kid is weak. Let's take him down. He's been acting up, that child. And look what we've got. We've got 2,000 dead soldiers because of him, thousands of dead Iraqis. But the interesting thing to me about this Wilkerson piece is that these guys were able to push through stuff that they wanted to get done by utilizing what we always used to talk about here, these conflicting, different bureaucracies saying different things.
Mm-hmm.
They created chaos within federal bureaucracies, and they were just able to bully their stuff through while there was infighting going on. I think it was on purpose because, you know, this administration, any type of dissent is usually stifled. The guy's pushed out. He's asked to resign, like DeLulio and Paul O'Neill. And what you have here is I'm starting to really think that all that sort of mixed messaging that goes on within this administration on the bureaucratic level was really designed to obfuscate what these guys wanted to do.
Well, what you have is a group of people who didn't want to mess with the bureaucracy, didn't want to mess with the bureaucracy in the Defense Department, didn't want to mess with the bureaucracy at the NSC, and certainly didn't want to deal with the bureaucracy at the CIA. They wanted to, because all of those bureaucracies told them, A, that the Yellowcake stuff was a forgery, and B, that a war in Iraq would be a quagmire.
Right, so that's where you get that mixed messaging. They're like, no, you're wrong. You got Rumsfeld, you got Cheney saying, shut up, and they're going, it's a quagmire, and so you get this conflict of interest, and the bureaucracies don't really have the power to sway these guys either way, so they just end up creating all this chatter, and these guys just do what the hell they want.
Well, yeah, they can't stop it if someone, in this case Cheney, has a direct conduit to the president. And all of these guys, all of these different neocons, from Feith to all of them, were back-channeled beyond the CIA bureaucracy, beyond the State Department bureaucracy, beyond the NSC bureaucracy, so that they had a direct conduit to the president with all of this misinformation. They convinced most Americans, including a lot of people who maybe should have known better, that Iraq did, in fact, have weapons of mass destruction. Remember, folks, go back to that time,
yeah.
And there were very few Americans. When the House of Representatives took a vote on whether to authorize Bush to take action in Iraq, only one congresswoman, and I know most people don't know who she is because it was her. It was Congresswoman Barbara Lee from California. She was the only one that voted against it.
Well, you know, this is the interesting thing also is that this cabal, you know, as we were saying before, they completely transgressed the intentions of the National Security Council. They did whatever the hell they wanted. And this the National Security Council was designed to actually vet national security decisions. From what I understand, this is my little research here.
Yep.
That they were actually, you know, supposed to be some sort of checks and balances within the decisions being made. That's why it existed. So apparently, according to Wilkinson, if you were to ask why should it matter if a decision were vetted, if that's what the president wanted to do or these close advisors wanted to do, this cabal wanted to do, and he answers that in saying that departures from this process in the past have given us the last 4 years of the Vietnam War, that's given us Watergate, it's given us Iran-Contra, and now it's given us Iraq. If these decisions are made without the federal bureaucracies and ignoring dissent, when those bureaucracies are called on to implement the decisions, they had no part in the actions of being, you know, taken place. It creates a completely fractured, uncoordinated government polluted by opportunism and turf wars over money.
And the long story short out of all this is that it created the 16 words that Bush inserted in his State of the Union address where he said, we have evidence from British intelligence that Saddam Hussein had attempted to purchase uranium from an African country. That's where that came from,
right?
Because the bureaucracy was totally bypassed.
Bypassed, but also bullied, right? I mean, the bureaucracy of the CIA was bullied.
Well, they were bullied, but remember that the original yellow cake forgeries,
right,
they told the CIA
didn't want nothing
right
to do with it.
Top, said, look, this stuff is phony.
You're going to have to go back and get a better forger.
Well, yeah, and imagine how imagine how plucked they must have been when the White House, after it was proven that the stuff was forged, when they went back and said, well, it's the CIA. It was their fault.
And they're like, no, our in-house guys had nothing to do with this. We do a much better job.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the forgeries that come out of the CIA, you can barely tell. I don't think, this is an Italian job.
Do you see our counterfeit money?
Our counterfeit money, drug dealers can't tell this stuff is fake. All right, sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily, we have an iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's kick it up and feed it some headlines. He'll be back tomorrow. Whole new world. Brendan.
Can't wait to hear what he has to say.
I know. Married Brendan McDonald will be back tomorrow. From ABC News, report Cheney cited as source in CIA leak. That's kind of old news, isn't it? Report Cheney cited as source in CIA leak. Translation, leak came from side of mouth. Because he's got that thing. All right. Woo! From Reuters. Bush says military action against Syria, last resort. Translation, Bush says military action against Syria, last thing on my to-do list. All right, let's read that again. Bush says military action against Syria, last resort. Translation, Syria hinges on indictments. From the Associated Press, study says unfair boss could shorten your life. Study says unfair boss could shorten your life. Translation, Mark Maron has 3 days to live. I'm going down. I'm going to L.A. in a box. All right. Oh, boy. Speaking of boxes, we should, you know, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that segue because it's insensitive. But we will in a little while talk about the 2000th death in Iraq. We are going to hear from Lawton Smalls. He's going to be calling in from Planet Bush. I feel like it's been a while since we talked to him. What was he on vacation last week?
Yeah, he was away. He's back, though, in a few minutes.
And also, we'll talk about religious freaks a little bit. We'll also talk about a misinterpretation of March of the Penguins, which I saw on the plane. I found to be very touching. You know, those penguins, they have all the little penguin ways, you know, and it's very moving. 45 past Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Don't just stare at it, eat it.
On Air America Radio.
past the hour. It is, what is it? It's Wednesday. Oh, my God, it's Wednesday. I feel okay for Wednesday. That's surprising. Usually I feel a little funky on Wednesday. I'm Mark Maron. If you don't know me, it's nice to meet you. That's Mark Riley, my friend and co-host.
Hi.
Over here, Chris Kahlo, Lopresto, is sitting in the room with us because apparently he's got nothing to do. When are you leaving?
The 11th.
All right, so you're okay. He usually is the guy behind the controls, but Trent's back there screwing it up a little bit. But doing a great job. Oh, he can hear me. How do you like that? He can just hear me right in the headphone. Huh?
That's radio.
We got Lawton Smalls coming up in a second. And listen to this, folks, because this is important to people out there that live in the world that we live in terms of health. Dr. Andrew Weil is going to be here later, and he's going to address some questions. He's going to talk about aging, which I am doing. Okay, right as we speak, I am aging.
We're all doing it.
I know, but I've aged more in the year and a half than you. I feel like the president. You know how one day you're like, you see the picture of when the president got into office, and like 2 days later, you're like, oh my God, he's 90. I feel that's what's happening to me. Do I look different?
No.
Here, let's go back to the narcissist book, because apparently my wife bought Loving the Self-Absorbed, How to Create a More Satisfying Relationship with a Narcissistic Partner. How about here's some other questions. Uses your disclosures to criticize, blame, and discount you. Yeah, she bought this book. All right. Does not seem to recognize your feelings. Oh, yeah. Becomes angry when challenged or confronted. Me? What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at? Are you laughing at me?
I don't know who she was talking about, Mark.
This seems like the wrong book. I don't think this is going to help our relationship. You know what this is going to help me do? She's going to just detach completely from me, and then it's going to be trouble. Look, I saw the March of the Penguins on the damn plane. Are we doing Cliff Notes now?
Yes, please.
All right. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Could you put the wig back on when you say yes, please? Dan Pashman in a wig in my dream. It might have been your hair. Was not going to give it to you, though. Was not going to say nice haircut. Not going to happen. I don't need to push this. A new survey titled Faith and Family in America shows Americans are becoming more accepting of divorce, cohabitation, and non-traditional families. 50% of Americans now see cohabitation as acceptable. The other 50% are pissed off girlfriends who keep saying things like, stop treating me like a whore. Oh, Americans have become so accepting.
I've had that.
You've had that, right?
Yeah.
Americans have become so accepting that Hallmark has just put out a new line of divorce cards that say, Mom, Dad, you had a good run. That's good. Secret codes in some laser printers facilitate tracking by the government ostensibly to catch counterfeiters. A Secret Service spokesman said, quote, the coding system doesn't really affect people who Xerox their buttocks and fax them to each other. We've already determined those people are just idiots. Experts say the codes could be used to crack down on dissidents, protesters, and those morons who put up flyers everywhere for their yard sale. A new study shows much lower incidence of heart disease among workers who think they're treated fairly by their boss. Privacy advocates say this threatens our anonymity, which is a Dave, I don't care if it's your damn birthday. You know, put the joke in the right place. You see, I just did a setup, and now I'm about to do the wrong punchline. What is wrong with you, man? How long does this have
did
to go
I really
on?
Do that?
Were you surprised after yesterday? After yesterday, when Mark Riley's like, okay, I'm ready to do the bit. If only I had the paper I needed. Oh my God!
Yeah, I'll have to count on that.
Dave, get out. Okay, this is where I'm going to. No, wait. This is where I'm going to look like an ass. Dave, what's the matter today?
I had Dan proofread.
That's hilarious. This is like Laurel and Hardy here. Dan, is a very bright, passionate young man, ambitious, and a good worker. Uh-huh. But sometimes it's like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. You know, so I'm sitting there left with the bag, hanging with the...
So what was the joke supposed to be, guys?
He put the joke under the wrong story.
So why don't you guys tell us what the joke is?
I'll tell you. Okay, well, here's the...
No, let them tell.
All right.
Come on.
Let me go ahead and find it here.
This is great. This is great. Hey, Dave.
Here we go. I got it.
Okay, there you go.
All right,
go.
You want to do the joke? Do it.
A new study shows much lower incidence of heart disease among workers who think they're treated fairly by their bosses. Some encouraging news, the study also found that having an unfair boss can shorten the lifespan of that unfair boss, usually by a shooting incident.
All right, good. That wasn't a joke. See, the thing was...
And then there's one more, Mark. Did you get the other one?
Oh, man, apparently, I got a whole different sheet.
Yeah, having an unfair boss can shorten your life, which is why I may die soon.
Oh, that's me. Yeah.
That's you, see?
See, little Goliath, now, I'm going to give you a break because what day is it, my friend?
It's my birthday.
No, so now who's the idiot?
No,
me.
No,
I should excuse you for doing a crappy job for the last 6 months. I'm kidding, man. Don't cry. It's your birthday.
I feel terrible. I am about to cry.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday. And pass out them garlic knots you brought in.
That was hilarious. Because Riley, Dave comes in here and goes, "You got any cake?" He goes, "No, but I'll give you some of my garlic knots." Are those like garlic knots from yesterday?
No, there's that pizza place on the way up 6th Avenue.
Dude, happy birthday. I'm just kidding. Yeah. You're doing a great job. It's not going to matter.
Wait a minute. You cop garlic knots at like 4:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
It's a healthy
breakfast. A lot of people do that, actually. I see a lot of kids.
Well, it's just the easiest thing, you know.
What is it, like halitosis week or something? What's the problem here?
Let's try and get this. I feel like people are anticipating me talking about March of the Penguins. Or maybe, how about indictments or Iraq, you know? But how about March of the Penguins, huh? Christian commentators have used the movie March of the Penguins to justify their views. All right, one guy says that the complexity of the penguins' lives was evidence of intelligent design. One said that the discussion of God was absent in the film, but it was a gap easily filled by family discussion after the movie. This is revisionism in action, my friends. Other commentators, like Michael Medved, said the film most passionately affirms traditional norms like monogamy, sacrifice, and child-rearing. Now, look, they're all been duped. I mean, this was a pretty movie about penguins, but if anything, it completely supports the idea of evolution just by the consistency and process of the patterns of their behavior, number one. Number two, this is the problem you have when you make animals adorable and you're able to project all this. Look how much they love each other and, oh, they're going to name the penguin. You know, and it's not really happening, but people get suckered in. They're like, they're just like people. They're not like people. And the filmmaker actually piped in. This guy, Luc Jacquet, was pissed at the misreading of his film and reacted by saying, quote, "The divorce rate of the imperial penguin is 80 to 90% each year. All right, after they see that chick is okay, they divorce." He said that he is a scientist, and many scientists see his film as an argument against intelligent design. Jacquet says, "For me, there is no doubt about evolution." It's just interesting to me because I watch it, and you get all choked up, and you put all your human feelings on these penguins, like I do on my cat, who told me that I was going to lose my job. Yeah.
I mean, really?
He also told me to kill the president, but I'm not listening to him.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Man.
You don't even, hey, should I kill the cat?
Someone might take the cat away from me.
No, the cat. The cat would never say that.
Delay, Chris?
Well,
can we
be here in a second.
About killing the president?
No, there's no idea. I'm not gonna. 57 Pass, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
All right, there you go. It's 6 past the hour. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
We got Lawton Smalls on hold. We got some guy who's calling from San Diego. Listen, 866-303-2270 is our phone number. We were talking to people about speculating about what indictments are going to come down because according to Raw Story, federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald has delivered at least two indictments for consideration to the grand jury. You know, I'm thinking this means that maybe Libby and Rove, the assumption is that the realm of the indictments is going to be perjury and also, you know, lying to investigators. I'm hoping conspiracy charges. I'm hoping Cheney will go down. I've got big hopes. 866-303-2270. Tell us what you're thinking. I mean, the bottom line is that there are definitely a lot of indictments that could come down. And obviously, President Bush and his big BS team, the propaganda team, the spinning team, the slandering team, are getting ready to at least start to bury Patrick Fitzgerald, if he is laying out any indictments, they're going to use all kinds of things. They're going to say he's criminalizing politics, that he's making a big thing out of nothing because he's not even applying the investigation to the leak case itself. He's going to start nailing people for perjury. But I hate to break it to you, when you lie under oath, even if it's got nothing to do with whatever you think it should have something to do with, it in and of itself, crime.
Patrick Fitzgerald will end up being the Teflon prosecutor.
Good.
None of this stuff is going to stick.
Oh,
that's
good.
My prediction.
Wait, well, to him.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope some of this stuff sticks.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about his indictment. I'm talking about if the Bush administration embarks on a smear campaign against Patrick Fitzgerald, it will be the Bush people who end up the worst for it.
Are you ready for Mark Green?
No.
He's going to be here later.
Woo!
Jim, Kayla's in the house here. He's in the room with us. He's training somebody. Hey, Tim in San Diego, what's going on? Thanks for holding. You got something on your mind?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mark. I'm so excited to talk to you. I listen to you every night.
Oh, thank you.
I have insomnia, so that's why I'm up listening to you.
Well, as long as it's insomnia, not a drug problem, it's okay.
Okay. Listen, indictments, yeah, Roe, Libby, all that, that's all very nice and well and good. But I want to see some sex introduced into this story. I want to offer a plot twist here.
Good, let's do it.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think that when the story comes out of how this all went down...
All right, keep it clean, Jim.
Keep it clean.
Is Jeff Gannon.
Okay.
Oh! Somebody mentioned him earlier, as a matter of fact.
I want to see Jeff Gannon come back into this story.
Okay, and, how?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the other night they were talking on the news about a mysterious Mr. X who told somebody this and somebody this who did not work in the White House.
Right, the unnamed source.
The unnamed source. They also talked about people in the White House saying they were told by a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, you know, Jeff Gannon. That would give the story a nice big punch, you know. The third act needs a little work here. So.
Okay. Well, I hope it lives up to your expectations, and maybe we can put something together here that'll be lurid and exciting, a third act if we get disappointed in the next couple of days.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay. He's so, not the first one to mention
speculating that Jeff Gannon was Novak's source, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because nobody, even now, knows exactly who Novak's source was.
What a chipper guy at that hour. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like in the middle of the night over there. Margaret in Eastchester, what's on your mind, Margaret?
Hey, Margaret.
Good morning. Not chipper.
Okay. All right. So, buzzkill, Margaret, what do you got?
The magnitude of the situation, if this is a cabal, if we were tricked into a war killing tens of thousands of people despite their ethnicity.
Yeah.
If we have been bankrupted as a nation morally, ethically, financially, and reputation-wise, the magnitude of these crimes defies description.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be better if Jeff Gannon was involved?
I think, of course, he's involved, and had he remained, they would have blamed him and outed him as a homosexual who had caused the whole problem.
Right. Well, thank you, Margaret. Thank you for that analysis. I appreciate your
call. Where did she call from?
I don't know.
Crazyville.
No. She's very excited, but I think what she is addressing, if I can be diplomatic, is that, you know, if you remember, I mean, Clinton, these Republicans were the ones that said perjury, rope him, lynch him, that let's bring this guy down over sex. I mean, now that they're backing away, they're sitting here saying, well, perjury's not that big a deal. I mean, come on. Is politics, but when Clinton was perjuring himself over Monica Lewinsky, they were going nuts. They were chomping at the bit. They were doing everything they could to push that guy over the edge, and that was about sex. All right, now this is about national security. It's about global security. It's about, you know, reaping revenge on a guy, trying to teach a guy a lesson and compromising the security of the United States to do that because he, you know, told the truth about lies that were put in place to put us in Iraq. So, I mean, I understand what she's saying. She is upset, but I do think we can understand the magnitude of what has happened. And I do think hopefully some of these indictments will shed some light on that. And I'm sure it is going to be much bigger. I mean, God knows people are still speculating about JFK. I mean, I imagine that whatever happens tomorrow or the next day is only going to be the tip of the iceberg and speculations about what is really going on in this world with this group of people, some of them who were involved with JFK, some of them who were in the vicinity, like George H.W. Bush on the grassy knoll. Some of those people All right? We're still around. I mean, this thing, obviously the speculations, you know, just around the Nigerian forgeries is going
man,
on. It's going to go on forever.
Ugly business.
All right, one more call. Come on. Henry. I like Henry. I like the name Henry in New Jersey. How are you?
What's up, Henry?
Good morning, Mark and Mark.
All right.
I couldn't agree with you guys more. I mean, this nonsense.
Oh, that was starting to sound so good.
Yeah.
You know, cell phone technology really needs... You know, I think... You there, Henry?
Nope.
He's like, you know, I'm in the tunnel. I'm in and out. You know, you know what that is? That's the secret Rovian interrupt the call ray that they do sometimes when people call our show. You know, Karl Rove right now, despite all the trouble he's in, he's got a little thing where he just interrupts cell transmissions to people calling liberal radio stations. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. I read it in a book written by a guy that writes books, and it was also on the internet. So that means it must be true because it was on the screen of the future machine. All right, man. What, Chris? What? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm pissed off at the Republicans, actually.
Wow. You mean you've been sitting in that booth for a year and a half and you're a little mad at the Republicans?
Well, it's just bullcrap that Bill Clinton can have an affair and they, you know, raise this huge stink about it. But yet George Bush compromises national security. And
right.
Like, eh.
Yeah, exactly. Not
it's
only that.
Such crap.
2,000 American soldiers are dead. Oh. He's screwing the world up. You know, and I'll tell you, I've been saying this the last...
If they get off scot-free, I'll be so pissed.
Dude, you know what? I'll be pissed. You'll be pissed. We'll all be pissed. We'll probably have to close the radio station down and move to another planet. All right?
I hope the rest of America understands what the hell is going on.
That's right. Yes.
Hey, let me tell you something. This is not new.
That's right. I hope America is listening.
It better be, because they better not elect another Republican. I'll
man.
Beat them up.
I'm going to move to Europe.
Yeah? Canada.
I resented people that used to say that, you know, right after the election. Like, I'm leaving. And I'm like, I'm getting out of this country. Where are you going? I don't know. French Riviera.
Maybe
something nice. Maybe St. Bart's. It was always a nice place. It was never like, you know, I'm going to Slovakia like Dan Pashman next week.
Hell yeah. Thursday night, man.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Slovakia. But
get off at the airport and say that. Hell yeah. I'm Dan Pashman.
Yeah.
He'll run into somebody that knows him. So, Riley, what were you going to say?
No, I mean, this is not new.
Yeah.
What we're seeing take place here is not new. This goes back, the players here go back to the mid-1970s, and they did the same thing in the mid-1970s about the Russians that they did in the 21st century with Iraq. Cheney and Rumsfeld actually formed an organization called Team B to bypass the CIA. This is going back to the 70s now.
Oh, see that? This dirty bastard's been doing this
dirty stuff. This stuff has been going on for a long, long time. And you know what? William Casey, who was the CIA director at that time, resisted. They got rid of him. Guess who took his place?
Who?
George H.W. Bush.
There you go. See
and
that?
And who's
they were
take
all
over
part
for
of
them?
Huh?
Who's going to take over for them when they...
They're building them in factories, Chris. They're putting them through schools that deny them the truth. They're programming new people. You know, you might wake up one day with a chip in your head. Don't you see what's going on? I'm losing it. You know what I mean? The end days are upon us. 90% of Americans believe... Is it Rapture Watch? I'm talking about me.
Oh.
All right. 90% of Americans believe the Bush administration officials acted illegally or unethically in connection with the leaking of a CIA operative's identity. 90% of the Americans polled in the CNN USA Today Gallup poll. That is good news. Hopefully that 90% will reflect upon these midterm elections, will reflect upon the future of the country in a beneficial way. Hopefully these 90% will not be frightened or half of them re-frightened into thinking that this is an administration that keeps us secure, because it isn't. It makes the world more dangerous. Hopefully this 90% will start to mobilize against these bastards, because I got to tell you something. I said this last week, that despite whatever happens with these indictments and whatever happens from this point forward in Iraq or however many soldiers get killed, these guys got exactly what they wanted. They made a fortune. They've disrupted the world, so it's a frightening place, which keeps the military in business forever. And also they've screwed us over on a legislative level that it might not be undone for years and years and years if we're lucky. So they have succeeded. All we can do now is get them out of office. That means the Republicans, that means Democrats who are not on board. Hopefully somebody will come up with some vision for the Democratic Party and actually be true progressives in their values and start to solve some of the problems that are important to us, like saving our environment, saving all the other important ones. Saving our environment. Also, you know, dealing with poverty in this country and dealing with, you know, maybe creating some efficient alternative energy resources, saving the Constitution. There's a lot of stuff. And there's
healthcare.
Only one, absolutely, health care. I could use it because I'm going to need it in about a month. All right, so look. Hey. All right, who can help us? Lawton Smalls. Let's talk to him in a second. 17 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Join the Morning Sedition. Right now, call 866-303-2270.
What?
That's 866-303-2270.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Damn good.
Well, that's some groovy music, huh? 22 past the hour, it's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hiya.
We have Sammy the Stem Cell waiting in the wings. And I, you know, who else? I just saw Jerry Springer's here. Did you see that? Riley, Jerry Springer's here.
Is he?
Yeah, he's over there.
I want to host his show.
Oh.
Not his radio show, his TV show.
I know, you got to tell him that. Yeah. Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So here now is Planet Push Chief, Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
Hey.
All right. Hey, you all right, Lawton, or...
Yeah, why wouldn't I be okay? What, are you a doctor now, Dr. Mark?
Wow. I was going to read you something, but I don't think I will.
No, please. Show me how well you read. Impress me with your vast knowledge, funny man.
What?
Please.
What's going on? All right. All right. Well, here we go. Here's some knowledge from the New York Daily News about your boy Bush. Quote, presidential advisors and friends say Bush is a mass of contradictions, cheerful and serene, peevish and melancholy, occasionally lapsing into what he once derided as the blame game. Huh.
Okay. Yeah. You read something out of a newspaper. You have a sixth grade reading level. I guess I'm supposed to applaud now. Oh, look, everyone. Baby made a duty.
What? What the hell? All right. I get it. Okay. All right. You know what? I get it now. Bush is cracking up and you can't handle it, right?
Thank you, Dr. Freud, for delving into everyone's psyche and dredging up their true motivations. My, you are impressive.
Wow. It says Bush is so hostile right now, he's even snapping at the junior staffers. Lawton, listen to this, quote, this is not some manager of McDonald's chewing out the help. This is the President of the United States, and it's not a pleasant sight.
I tell you what's not a pleasant sight, watching some socialist spew lies about the greatest president America's ever had. Now that's ugly. Genius, Freud.
This article says also Bush has been storming around the White House, blaming everyone else for his problems, even Rove and Cheney. What about that, buddy? They call him a lion in winter. He's losing it, Lawton. He's becoming Nixon during Watergate, talking to the paintings.
Really? Wake up, Mark. You're not on short attention span theater now, and I'm not one of those hyenas at Giggles Comedy Club who needs two drinks to find you remotely amusing.
All right. Oh, yeah? All right. Well,
at least two drinks.
Well, listen to this, buddy. Well, your precious Bush could be losing Rove.
Drunk,
Cheney's
more like
facing
it.
An indictment for the plane case. Tom DeLay has been neutered. The Iraq War is up to 2,000 American deaths. He screwed up Katrina big time, and even his own people hate Harriet Myers. He's on a losing streak a mile long, Lawton, and he's reacting to it like the big stupid baby that he is, and the only one who still supports him are complete deluded idiots like you, my friend.
Huh. Mark?
What?
Kiss my ass!
What?
You heard me, mister! Pucker up! I've had about enough of your crap! I've eaten about as much of your communist garbage as I'm gonna eat! You sit there in your elitist media average tower throwing your poop at a man! You don't even get to wipe the dirt off his boots! Alright? Just because he's going through a tough time right now and just... He's George... President George W. Crazy, unfit to lead, no mandate, but...
Oh, man.
No.
Wow.
He can't handle it.
Man.
Mark.
What?
I'm sorry I yelled at you.
Oh, man.
I've been under a lot of strain lately. All this indictment stuff, man. This has been hard on me.
Yeah.
I'm very sensitive. Do you forgive me?
I don't know, man. You're kind of an a-hole back there.
Please,
I think you're really funny. I think you're Foxworthy funny. I don't think I can handle any more rejection right now. Could you just forgive me, please?
Okay, all right. I guess Bush is your hero, and it would be hard for you to watch him go through this. So, all right, okay, all right. I forgive you, all right?
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
You don't have to kiss my ass.
Well, that's good news, right? All right. Thanks, brother. Are you okay now, buddy? It's going around.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, anger's just a motivational tool, Mark. Keeps the troops in line. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, drop and give me 20, soldier.
All right, goodbye,
get in the
one.
Fight, buddy.
Goodbye,
get in the fight.
Goodbye, one. Goodbye.
God loves you, Mark.
Yeah, I know.
Deal with it.
All right. Yeah, okay. he just ended with a thank you? Oh, boy. All right, look, Dr. Andrew Weil, educated doctor and the director of the University of Arizona's program in integrative medicine, is going to talk to us about aging. I have some questions. You, Riley?
Yeah.
All right, we got Sammy the Stem Cell on deck, so hang out. 27 past, it's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Rade.
Hey.
Kalo, the Coscojo, Lepresto is in the room here, too, because he's training somebody out there. Not training him. Trent knows what he's doing, right, Trent? Is my mic on? Trent,
for the most part, yeah.
Is my mic on? Is it on? Is my mic on?
I can't tell.
Did I mention Mark Riley's here as well?
Where?
We're all here. We're one big happy family. Sammy the Stem Cell is going to be here in a moment. Jerry Springer's in the next studio. He's just hanging out. Uh-huh. He's not usually here. I don't know if our listeners know that. A lot of our listeners think we're all just one big happy family, and we have group lunch. Like, you know, like it's just me and Al and Janine and Jerry and Ed and Stephanie and everybody that's under the big Air America umbrella nationwide. We all just hang out and go, hey, how you guys doing? I'm so happy your show's doing well. Mine's not doing that well, but I'm happy yours is, because we're all progressives and we're all here to help each other. What a load of crap that is. I hate to burst anyone's bubble, but I barely see anybody. And I'm just happy to see Jerry sitting over there. And he doesn't even know I'm talking about it. Hey, somebody go ask Rabbi Springer what Jewish holiday it is today. Somebody do that, would you? Please, find out for me. Would someone do a little research? Because all I know is my trainer could not train me today because he's a Jew boo and he's got some dancing to
you
do.
You have a Jewish trainer?
Why don't you back off, Pastor?
I mean,
my trainer, it's like, and
that's,
you know,
like, never mind.
His name is Ari Weller. He's a genius. He's a yoga gyrotonics inspired ball master. You know, we do the big inflatable ball thing.
Oh, okay.
No, he's great. And it's I've known him for years. It's more of a friendship thing. It becomes a full-on sort of therapy
but
session.
But you pay him, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do it. I'm not going to be able to pay him much longer. But, hey, I'm not going to talk about that till we know what the hell's going on. Staff Sergeant, I'm going to shift gears into something. Oh, wait. Kayla went and asked Rabbi Springer what did he say? What did he say? We should get him in here.
Rabbi Springer said that it is Sukkot.
Sukkot? Sukkot. I'm looking up online here. Sukkot lasts for a week.
Oh, because I knew that was last week because my Jubu trainer, Ari Weller.
I didn't think you had to take off for Sukkot, though.
You take off for whatever you want, and then you get to sit in the hut with the fruit. Where you sit in the hut with the fruit. That's where you dangle the weird...
The harvest festival.
The Middle Eastern lemon, which is called the what? You should know this. Come on! And the little palm branch and the Middle Eastern and the Israeli lemon.
We had a sukkah in my backyard once, but called? My mom made American chop suey.
I was hit over the head with one of those lemons.
I think you had some bad Jews. I don't know.
We can back off, you wop bastard. Why don't you go back to Staten Island? How good of a Catholic are you, you?
I know what Christmas is and Easter is all about.
Oh, yeah, but tell me a little bit about...
Lent? I can tell you about Lent.
No, come on. Not about Lent. What's one of the weird esoteric witchcraft festivals at the Catholic Church? Tell us about the bloodletting.
Yeah, I don't know if we celebrate that.
Ah, see, you don't know. You don't know.
But we don't celebrate that.
It's no, like you don't.
We don't have off days for it.
I don't know. Now I'm just being a bastard. Wait, see what those people on the phone want, John. All right, here we go.
So do you eat the lemon, by the way?
No, you don't. You hang it up because it's sour. It's supposed to look good. It's called the, oh, man. Yeah, someone.
Okay, you know, can someone get Jerry Springer on, you know, can you just bring him in here?
No, he's working. He's doing
working.
His homework.
He's preparing.
He is. So, oh, now I hate to switch to this story. Wait, is there any good phone calls?
Did I ruin it?
Etrog, the Lulog and the Etrog, something like that. Yeah. God knows we all have computers here, but I'm using my own brain. I don't want to cheat.
The what?
Did someone call in with the Jewish information, John? No?
I think they might actually be calling with relation to current events.
Oh, that Staff Sergeant. All right, well, let's get into it. Staff Sergeant George. Oh, God, I've got to make this segue. Can we all pull it together? No laughing. All right, this is serious. Staff Sergeant George T. Oh, man, I can't do it. All right, look, 2,000 people are dead in Iraq, okay? That's what happened. There are 2,000 military deaths. And the reason we want to talk about this, Chris, I know it's an awkward transition, all right? I know it is. But Brett Hume, that bastard on Fox News, on the special report yesterday, said that 2,000 casualties are negligible by historical standards. Negligible. Yeah, I guess if you're talking about World War II numbers or Vietnam numbers or World War I numbers or the Civil War numbers, but I mean, in comparison to smaller conflicts, like insurgency conflicts, like of a guerrilla nature, okay, like Lebanon, Grenada, Panama, the first Gulf War, Somalia, Haiti, Kosovo, Afghanistan, all under 1,000 deaths. So I think he should reframe it a little bit. If they're going to start to trivialize the death of these Americans as opposed to use them like we are to make an anti-war statement, you know, he should be a little more respectful.
Well, what you have to realize is Brit Hume has got nothing. Okay, he's an anchor man with nothing between his ears. Mm. This isn't the first time he has downplayed the number of Iraqi deaths. And he used some really bizarre logic back in 2003 about, you know, you have a greater chance of being murdered in California than you do dying in Iraq.
And
they're geographically the same size. Of course, the number of U.S. troops in Iraq is nowhere near the population of California. We'd have 32 million people in Iraq, which is more than their population, for God's sake.
Right, and now military officials are saying that it's not a milestone, that looking at it as a milestone is politicizing it exactly like we are to make an anti-war statement. Instead, we should look at all the good that has happened in Iraq as the real milestones as they move towards democracy. Now, if that didn't spin, I don't know what is. I mean, we have tried to look at the good things that have happened in Iraq, and certainly there have been a few good things that have happened in Iraq. There has been a few schools built, a few hospitals pulled together, but by and large, the information we get about, you know, electricity, about basic services, about violence, about you know, any number of things in terms of what is going on in a positive way. And I bet you can bet your ass that Bush is going to be spinning this referendum as a genius thing, especially in light of the indictments.
What troubles me about hearing soldiers talk about there's not enough news about what's good in Iraq is that these soldiers are being played by this administration. They promise bonuses they don't give, 15 mm-hmm. grand to National Guard and Army Reserve people. You know, they promise treatment for injuries that they never give.
Yeah.
They send people over for a certain amount of time and then extend their stuff, you know, without any kind of recourse on the part of the soldiers. And yet they still try to act as though the soldiers somehow, you know, are happily involved in rebuilding a country that we had no business invading in the first place.
Exactly. It was an amazing transition. You know, I was just thinking about people in their cars laughing it up and then, you know, trying to refocus our discussion to something serious. That's what we're great at here on this show. But that one was a dicey one.
But it worked.
It did.
You know what? That was important stuff.
Well, it was important stuff. And just to watch you stifle your laughter, you know, just to watch you try and wrangle the laughter in was important to me. Well, I can't believe out of all 90 calls, there was not one good one. What was it? People just go.
We had a few Jews calling in about Sukkot.
And what was it called? Did you get the names?
John, what was it?
Well, it was just everyone was telling us what Rabbi Springer just already, you know, told
so
us.
So that today was Sukkot, but no one came up with the funny lemon name?
No.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow. All the Jews job. I'm sorry. The Jews that listen to this show, you guys really dropped the ball on this one.
866-303-2278. What did Dave see? Dave, tell me what you saw yesterday that made you know that it was a holiday. By the way, it's Dave Little Goliath's birthday.
Yeah.
And he's doing a great job.
By the way, how old are you?
How old are you, man?
I'm 23. Oh.
So what did you see yesterday on the street?
I was walking around. It was around 9.
Let's tighten it up a little bit. Tighten it up a little bit.
Why does your voice sound so distant?
I don't know. Turn his mic up, please. Come on.
All right. I saw these Hasidic Jewish men running down the street and chanting some Hebrew.
Yeah,
and they were very celebratory.
Uh-huh. And did you go, wow, look at the Jews?
A little bit.
How did you know it was a holiday? It could have just been Tuesday.
Well, because these...
Usually they're not dancing.
Well, in my neighborhood, all these Hasidic Jews keep asking me if I'm Jewish, and they're holding this weird plant and like a
That's
lemon
thing.
That's the thing.
Have you been listening to our show at all?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was outside for a little while.
Okay. There's 900 calls now that we have. I guarantee you we have Hasidic Jews on the phone.
who want to
tell us exactly what it's called. All right, so we're going to find out because
kind of plant is it? Is it like a Christmas tree?
No, it's like a Palm Sunday style. You know, it's like a palm thing. It's a spear of a palm.
And what do you guys make a cross out of it? Because that's
exactly what we do. And we crucify a Jesus on it. Just like we did.
That's what you guys are good at.
Just like we did the first time. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You're going with what you're good at. I
yeah, that's right. And as Lenny Bruce said, if he comes back, we'll do it again. I think he said that. It was him or somebody else. Hey, Jerry. He can't hear us. Nice to see you.
But Chip can.
Hey, so anything? What do you got? Nothing? Come on. Put someone on. I want to talk to someone. Nothing? All right. What do you got? Hello? How are you? What's going on?
Wow, we don't have a lot of Jews listening.
That's unbelievable.
Is it one of those holidays where you can't use any of the electronics?
No, that's the Amish. No, every Friday.
You can't use
every Friday. You can't work. Sabbath.
You have a good day.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. What's up?
That was odd.
You wanted the name of the Jewish
stuff? Yes.
It's lulav and etrog.
Lulav and etrog. Which one is the lemony thing?
The lemon thing is the etrog.
Okay, and the lulav is the palm thing.
Those are the palm things. The etrog is the fruit of the citron tree.
Citron tree. Where that's the tree that they used to grow the cars on.
Right.
Tell me exactly what they symbolize, please.
It says that the etrog is the fruit of the Hadar tree.
Oh.
And it's let's see what it says. It's very.
Oh, you're reading. That's cheating.
Well, I'm cheating.
All right, go ahead.
I knew the name before I looked in my book.
Okay.
But what kind of book?
It's
How to Be a Jew.
The season of the harvest and the top of the sukkah, which is where you eat, has to be open so you can see the sky.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to eat in there during the whole holiday.
I know. Someone invited me to dinner in a sukkah once and it was awkward.
Why?
Because you're outside and you're in a hut.
It's called a picnic.
No, but
in New York City, we had a fake sukkah. We used to pass the food out onto the porch.
Oh,
pretended we had one.
Oh, that's sad, but it's passionate. Thank you for calling. It's nice talking. It's like a picnic with pressure. You know what I mean? Because, like, look, we're Jews on a picnic, and we have to have these exotic pieces of fruit from another country.
You're eating. It's cool.
Man, you know, it's like at least, you know, be consistent with your contempt for the Jews. All right? This wishy-washy stuff is making me look anti-Semitic.
I'm trying to understand the Jewish community.
You are?
Yes.
Why don't you ask me some questions?
Hey, I got three words for all of you.
Yeah.
Wait till Kwanzaa.
Oh. What happens that day? What kind of fruits do you guys fly in?
Who came up with Kwanzaa anyway?
We'll have him on. His name is Dr. Maulana Karenga.
He's still alive?
He's still alive.
So no one had to die for your...
No one had to die for a black colony? Were you nuts?
That's pretty awesome.
Hey, dude.
Don't you think enough blacks have died, Chris?
Yeah. See that?
Uncomfortable.
See that? Go ahead.
It's really uncomfortable. Hey, let's get back to me. I'm kidding. Now, is there fruit involved? Is there
not really.
Because there's something I learned about Southern cooking, that much of the staples of Southern cooking, like greens and yams and stuff, all came up from Africa. Did you know that?
Well, actually, across.
Right.
Not up.
All right, that's what I meant.
Yeah, but yeah, that's true.
And my map's screwy.
I got
it for half price, and now I know why.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, look, let me tell you something. I have eaten some African dishes that are just like, they're scary. They're so good. Yeah. And, I'm a very picky eater, as you know.
And I love being here in France. I know. No, I have eaten. What have I eaten? Moroccan food.
Okay.
That's very good. You eat it with your hands, and the bread is the size of a table.
Really?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, that's Indian bread, too. Naan bread sometimes. Big.
Wow. We're into bread now. Let's bring Sammy out. It's 47 past Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
One past the hour, it's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hey!
Now to help us sort out some of the latest developments and issues surrounding stem cell research, we have a very controversial guest, Sammy the Stem Cell. Welcome. Welcome.
Hi! Hello, everybody! I'm Sammy the Stem Cell!
All rights reserved.
Okay, all right. What? All right, Sammy, let's get this out of the way, okay? First, it seems that whenever you're on the show, we get another email complaint from an offended listener.
Well, bring it on!
Well, there's nothing to bring on, Sammy. That's what I wanted to tell you. Nobody sent any hate mails today.
What the hell are you talking about?
You heard me. People are so disgusted by you, they don't even bother complaining anymore, which is kind of surprising considering what you did a few weeks ago.
What will me do that time?
Do you remember we had on your friend Timmy?
Yeah.
You remember what you did?
I cut him up.
And?
I ate him. I cut him up and I ate him. Then I wore his face on my head for a whole month. You know why? Because I can! I'm Sacred Life! I'm untouchable!
Hey guys, I don't mean to interrupt you with an inexplicable non sequitur, but sometimes right before I fall asleep, my left nostril makes a whistling sound.
What the was that?
Sammy, I think what Ryo was trying to say was that the FDA has just approved the first transplant of fetal stem cells into human brains. What's your reaction, Sammy?
Sounds like a friggin' nightmare.
Come on, Sammy. This is a very important development. If this procedure is successful, it could pave the way to curing a host of brain disorders.
Oh, you mean like Marin's disease?
Oh.
Or Marcolepsy?
Mm-hmm.
Marin's disease?
All right.
And, this one. Marin's disease.
Ha! Marcolepsy. That's a funny one, Sammy.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Riley, here's another disease that can cure. Shut up!
Wow. So I take it, usual, you're against any medical advance that might alleviate human suffering.
Hey, I don't want to be injected inside somebody's noodle, right? It's bad enough being inside this studio.
Oh, man.
But you know what I'd really like to be part of?
No, what?
Prussian Blue.
What?
It's a with it up and coming singing beat.
Wait, whoa. Yeah. You mean those twin girls from Bakersfield who sing about?
No, they're on the edge, Mark. They've got that in your face attitude. Can I play a couple of their tracks?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. The first one's called Victory. And this one's called Hate for Hate, Lamb Near the Lane.
What? What? Those were different songs?
Okay, the chord progression's kind of the same, but you get the message.
What's the message? Hatred against people of color espousing some sick Aryan white power message?
Really? Is that what it is? Oh, man, I can't believe this. That's a gyp. I thought they hated everybody. Wow. Man, that's kind of a downer.
Yeah. No kidding, Sammy. Even I'm surprised at you.
Yeah, but they're so hot.
Hot? Sammy, they're 12 years old.
What? Really? Is that what it is?
Oh,
man, I can't believe this. But they're dressed up like sleazy whores. Look at the pictures.
Oh, no. Put those away, man. Just put them away.
Man, this is sick. And you want stem cells to help people?
Yeah, not like these. Well, I guess this one time I agree with you, Sammy.
Hey, you know what? You're right.
Mm-hmm. Then what do we learn about ourselves, Sammy?
That my left nostril makes a whistling sound?
Oh.
Man, pot.
Today's visit by Sammy the Stem Cell was brought to you by AutoZone.
Get into the zone, AutoZone! Bye, everybody!
Jesus, what, is it your last day or something, Jim?
Yeah, you all right? Putz, huh? Putz?
Yeah.
Oh,
you who wear
man.
Skips with black socks calling somebody else a putz?
Oh, please. Look at this. The in-character, out-of-character, boundaryless nature of this relationship frightens me. You know what I mean? Can we get back to this? How about this? Hey, let's read an email to Mark from St. Paul, Minnesota. Morning Sedition is the best radio I've ever heard. It's the only radio that has ever made me a regular listener. It's the best issue framing from our side of the political fence. Keep it up. Huh?
Was that before or after Sammy?
How do you like? That was before.
No.
See, is there another one? I believe that your morning program with Marin and Riley is one of the best programs that you produce. Please work at keeping this informative and very funny show running. Keep up the good work. That's from Mike. Huh? How do you like that? Today is a kind of fake holiday called Shemini Atzeret. Oh, this is a real Jew.
Uh-oh.
None of my Israeli friends could ever tell me what it's about except that it's the day before Simchat Torah. Anyways, please don't forsake us for
is
the West Coast.
Is that a Klingon holiday or something?
What?
A Klingon holiday?
What'd you say, you WAP? From Staten Island?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Hey, wait, let me say it different. Today is a kind of a fake holiday called Shemini.
I'm going home. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you a WAP.
You guinea
bastard. All right, so we got Dr. Andrew Weil was going to come on and tell us how I can stop aging if I'm not shot in the head by an angry Italian person. 57 past Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Crush my guitar. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
It's 6 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Thank you for all your emails, your informative emails, and telling me, a non-practicing Jew, a bad Jew, what Jew day it is. Here's another, we got another email. Hi, guys. The lemon thing is an etrog, and the palm branch thing is called a lulav. It's kind of sad that I, a super reformed Jew, I was bar mitzvahed in a church. Well, we called it the Chemple. Knows this information. Also, today is Simchat Torah, which celebrates the completion of the reading, the Torah, and the return to the Genesis chapter 1. Well, you know, that's coincidental because I'm not a practicing Jew, but I did just by chance finish reading the Torah today. How do you like that? Yeah, isn't that weird? I'm back at the beginning. I'm looking forward to starting it again. Morning Sedition. We'll return to O'Neill's Restaurant for another live broadcast next Thursday, November 3rd. Hoping everything goes as planned. O'Neill's gave us the free lox and the bagels and the little baskets of muffins on the table. You should come down. It's on 64th Street. It's West 64th Street between Broadway, Central Park West. That's next Thursday, November 3rd, Riley. How do you like that? So now, according to many sources, one of them being Raw Story, who every time that I take anything, any information out of a Raw Story story now, I will source them because our friend Larissa down there got very irritated and said, where's my shout-out? Well, here it is. Raw Story says federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald has delivered at least one indictment for consideration by the grand jury. He is thought to be seeking at least two. It is also thought that the focus of the indictments will be in the perjury realm, my friends, the lying to investigators realm. This means that certain targets are Libby and Rove for giving conflicting testimony. Conspiracy charges are not out of the question. But what about forgery, espionage, and murder?
Uh-oh. Well, I don't know if he's going to go that deep into it. I have my own feelings about who will and who won't get indicted here.
Oh, yeah?
Come
on. Well, what speculate, Riley? And I don't want to take calls unless you can do it before quarter after, 866-303-2270. I want to hear what you said on the break. Give it to us.
All right. I believe that Libby will be indicted. I'm not sure that Rove will be indicted. I don't think Cheney will be indicted. I think the surprise indictment in all this could well be National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley.
Okay. Now, you think that the reason he's going to go down is that he was the guy that actually flew over to Italy to
in
meet
in 02
in, right. in 2002 to see if they could push off those forgeries.
Well, to meet with the people who were responsible for offloading the forgeries direct into Washington.
This is hilarious. So you're saying he facilitated the Nigerian forgeries that documented the business transaction between Iraq and Niger about these tons of yellow cake uranium.
500.
Now, all right.
Exactly.
So you're saying that had to be facilitated that that transaction to Washington because they didn't even want the forgeries at the CIA. The CIA was like, well, are you kidding me? We could do a better job in-house.
This is the back channel. This is the kind of disinformation roadway that was created by the neoconservatives to bypass the CIA, to bypass the State Department, who they both thought were too who they thought were both too soft on Iraq, and to, you know, again, start that ramp to war. September of 02, when did we start the war? March
exactly.
of 03.
Exactly. I think it's important to know, folks, that despite whatever the right-wing propaganda outlets are going to stir up in terms of whatever the prosecutor, Fitzgerald, brings down in the form of indictments, they're going to try and slander this guy. They're going to try and make it look like it's trivial. It's not trivial. Even if the prosecution, even if the indictments don't revolve around disclosing the Covert Identity Act, if they perjured themselves, if they lied under oath, that is a crime, period. It doesn't matter. I mean, these Republicans are the same Republicans that, you know, cried murder when Clinton lied about sex.
Well, yeah, and George Bush said, I would have impeached him. He lied. That's what he said.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. And that was about sex, not about compromising national security, not about putting people's lives in danger, not about possibly putting the nation in danger to seek reprisal on a guy who told the truth, that the Nigerian yellow cake story was a lie, that most of the stuff that we went to war on was constructed from lies put together by the White House Iraq group. So this is what happens. These guys will put the world in a darker, more unsafe place to seek their goals. And Clinton just was seeking some relief, unfortunately. But they were screaming about him lying. And now I think we should raise the same sort of stink. Now, I think it's possible because apparently, according to a CNN USA Today Gallup poll on the Plame investigation, 90% of Americans believe Bush administration officials acted illegally or unethically in connection with the leaking of a CIA operative's identity. Well, you know what? Let's say the Bush administration, let's say Cheney, let's say Rove, let's say Libby, but let's also say George Bush for allowing this to happen. Because the one thing I've been talking about the last couple of days is that this does show that on some level, Bush was out of the loop of this neocon death cult, this cabal inside his own house. And he had no control over them, but that doesn't matter. He needs to be answered. He needs answer to it because he is the president. He is responsible.
Well, he is responsible. The buck stops with him. I mean, Harry Truman said it. Harry Truman actually meant it. George W. Bush, if we're to believe most recent published reports, has been dispersing blame far and wide. You know, junior level staffers are getting yelled at. Yeah, he's snapping at people. This again, according to published reports.
He's getting all Nixon-y. That's what I say. He's getting a little Nixon-y in the last days, Nixon-y.
Well, you know what it is? He's getting caught in the Bermuda Triangle of Iraq, Plamegate, and Harriet Myers.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's coming at him from all ends, and the only tactic he can really have is, you know, he appointed a new Federal Reserve chairman. He's going to say that he's going to do what Clinton did. He's actually going to rip off Clinton's riff and say, like, you know, I don't, you know, this is just noise. I got to get to work. You know, the people of America, you know, I got work to do for the people of America. Right. Denying them their rights, you know, making it impossible for them to live on the livings that they make, making it impossible for them to get work. I mean, you know, what kind of work is this guy doing for average Americans? Nothing.
No, that's because he's got nothing for average Americans. He's only got something for the wealthiest Americans.
Yeah.
That would be a tax cut.
Unbelievable how many people are unemployed. Unbelievable how many people are uninsured. What the best he's got is a Federal Reserve chairman and gas went down a nickel or a quarter or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Still too expensive.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. President.
All right. Well, look, I'm very excited about this next guest because he's a big star in the circles that he runs in. Andrew Weil, is a Harvard-educated doctor and the director of the University of Arizona's program in integrative medicine. He's going to join us here in the studio in a few minutes. He's going to talk about aging. His new book is Healthy Aging, A Lifelong Guide to Physical and Spiritual Well-Being. I think I'm way off the... I'm relatively healthy, but lately, you know, with all the stress I'm under about, the future of things, a lot of ice cream. Plowed through a pint last night.
What kind?
I got the Stony Brook Farms fancy ice cream. I got to be honest with you. When I was younger, it was chocolate, now vanilla. And, you know, what I like is a big spoonful of vanilla with maybe just a little dab of chocolate on it. What I'm telling you is, out of my indecision, I got 2 pints. You understand?
Me too, actually.
You did?
Yeah, pistachio.
Pistachio? See, you are Italian, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's going to...
What does that mean?
Because it's an pistachio. Italian thing. Pistachio ice cream is not a normal American thing. It's some weird Italian freak thing.
Well, I love it, man. It's great.
And
cream, what does that mean?
You got to fight with me, man, because if you don't fight me, I just look like an ass.
Well, I like being Italian. I'm proud of it.
All right, there you go.
You're scared to be a Jew.
So fight, then.
No, I'm scared of Italians. And I'm not... no, I'm not scared to be a Jew. It just annoys me. Do you understand? I annoy myself. Listen, am I annoying you? Imagine what I have to go through. Do you understand? If anybody thinks I'm annoying, imagine what I have to live with all the time. Because for you, the noise stops when I'm off the air or I'm out of the room. But for me, chatter, chatter, chatter. Listen to the Jew go on in his own head. All right? Some guy accused me of being of copying a neurotic Jewish attitude. He says Woody Allen invented it, and then Richard Lewis copped it, and Marin's trying to do it himself. You know, I hate to bum you out, but you know, some people are truly neurotic. You know what I mean?
You want to be like that.
I wish this was a comic disposition, my friend. All right, my wife just bought Loving the Self-Absorbed, How to Create a More Satisfying Relationship with a Narcissistic Partner, and she bought it not as a joke. All right. Andrew Weil next, 15 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. Did someone call with the Jewish information, John? No?
I think they might actually be calling with relation to current events.
Oh, that Staff Sergeant. Weird. All right, well, let's get into it. Staff Sergeant George. Oh, God, I'm not going to make this segue. Can we all pull it together? No laughing. No laughing. All right, this is serious. Staff Sergeant George. Man, I can't do it. All right, look, 2,000 people are dead.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
Twenty past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey,
it's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program for now. Look, you know, I'm very excited about our next guest because he's that guy you always see with the beard. He's the bearded guy. Before I introduce him, I want to...
What, is he Santa Claus?
Well, he kind of looks like that because you know him. I've seen your picture everywhere, but we'll talk about that in a second. 866-303-2270 is our number. We're going to have Andrew Weil. I'm going to introduce him in just a second. But he's like, he knows a lot about being healthy and about aging and his new book. I guess I'm doing the intro. Getting older is scary, but our next guest is going to tell us how we can all age gracefully. He's a top medical expert on health and fitness, and he is here in our studio to talk about his new book, Healthy Aging, A Lifelong Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual Well-Being. He's Dr. Andrew Weil. Good morning, Dr. Weil. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor.
The guy with the beard.
All right. Okay. There
we go. It's that bearded guy. 866-303-2270 if you have questions. Now, what I want to know, basically, I've done a lot of things in my life to be healthier.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to be honest with you, I still feel like I'm rotting.
Well, the fact is you are.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we all are. And, you know, aging begins at conception.
Okay.
And what I worry about is that there are so many people at the moment in our culture who are under the spell of anti-aging philosophy. There's a lot of people out there telling you that you can turn back the clock, mm-hmm. stop aging, reverse mm-hmm. it. None of that is true.
But lotions, I got a good cream.
Well, the creams are probably safer than the pills.
Yeah, no
and,
pills.
And the things they put in your veins. Anyway, there's no way to stop aging.
In your veins?
Yeah, there's all sorts of treatments
like,
out there.
What are you talking about?
Oh, there's anti-aging doctors who will give you all sorts of concoctions.
They'll shoot you up?
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably bad for you, right?
Some of it is bad for you, but most of it is waste of money. But the fact is you can't stop aging. What you can do is keep healthy as you get older.
Okay, so let's start the day with, okay, I get up, what do I do?
Well,
go back to bed.
I could have done that this morning.
You still can. Here's your out.
You probably want to eat a good breakfast.
Okay, so diet's important.
Diet is important. You want to get physical activity throughout your life. And that can be, you know, I've long been a great proponent of walking. Walking is terrific. And in a city like New York, it's a very good thing to do.
Can't help it.
Can't
you
got to
do it. You end up walking like a mile a day.
It is a walking city.
It
but
is.
Now, is coffee that bad for you?
No, coffee is not necessarily that bad, but tea is better because there's an incredible amount of research on the health benefits of tea. And I think one of the best things Americans could do is substitute tea for at least some of the coffee they now drink.
Oh, I only drink like one cup a day. I drink one when I wake up in the morning. I don't tend to eat breakfast because we get up at zombie time. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't, you know, and, you know, I'm trying to age gracefully. I do work out. I don't eat as much junk as I used to. I don't eat red meat. But, you know, every now and then you feel like those eggs. Yeah, you know, you ever get to that point where, you know, every ache you feel like this is it. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you feel that, Dr. Weil?
I don't. I mean, my body has changed as I've gotten older, but I've adapted to that. And there was a point in my life when I used to run, and then I got real signals from my knees that that's not what I wanted to do. So I now swim, and I like to swim.
It's interesting. I read part of your book, and right at the beginning, it's very frank. You're basically saying, dude, you're dying. And there's, like, literally, I read the first 20 pages of the book, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is grim. But there is an honesty to acknowledging that I think a lot of people avoid. And I think a lot of people, the reason why they don't age gracefully is because they do everything they can to avoid it.
Exactly, or deny it or pretend it's not happening. But, you know, what you can do something about is age-related disease. And these are the big categories of disease that get people as they get past the age of 50, 60. It's heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's disease. Those you can do something about. So the goal should not be to try to stop aging. It's to try to reduce the risks and delay the onset of age-related disease.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Andrew Weil. His new book, Healthy Aging, A Lifelong Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual Well-Being. If you have any questions for him, 866-303-2270 is our number. Now, where does the spiritual play into this? Because I fight it.
Well, first of all, it depends what you mean by spiritual. Spirituality is not religion.
No, you know? I know.
Spirituality has to do with the non-physical aspect of ourselves.
Right.
One thing that's interesting to notice, well, here, have you had this experience? I mentioned this in the book.
Okay.
You meet somebody you haven't seen in 20 years,
sure,
who knew well.
Yeah.
And the first time, the shock of seeing somebody who's gotten older.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, but then as you sit with them in a few minutes, you reconnect. You know, it is the same person. There's some level on which we're the same. There's some part of us that doesn't change.
I've been
as we
noticing
get older.
That lately.
Yeah, and there's some part of me that feels, when I think back, I feels the same now as I did when I was six.
Yeah.
You know, what is that unchanging part of ourselves? I mean, that's an interesting thing to look at.
Well, yeah, because I have to, lately, I've been forcing myself to see myself as a person getting older.
Yeah.
Because there is part of your perception, not only of yourself, but of the world and the way you hear yourself, that is just non-changing.
Exactly. So that's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing to contemplate.
But if you don't see someone for 20 years, usually, you know, what's revealed is that something went horribly wrong. You know, like, why the hell didn't you call me? It's been 20 years, you bastard.
Dr. Wild, you know, so far you haven't said anything that is particularly controversial, yet you are a controversial figure. Why?
Well, I'm out to change medicine and healthcare in our country. And I've been
doing
that.
Make it cheaper, hopefully?
Make it cheaper, definitely. And make it cheaper by bringing in alternative treatments that by nature are cheaper. And I've been trying to do this for 20-some years, and that's pushed some people's buttons. If I weren't controversial, I wouldn't be doing my job. So I worry if I get not controversial.
So, you know, I grew up, my father, was a surgeon, a Western medicine practitioner, somebody who, really sort of held strong to the doctrine of Western medicine, and now, oddly, has started selling supplements.
Ha!
Okay. Now, so now tell me, like, because there are some people, he's sort of changing his tune in terms of holistic approaches,
right,
but there are a lot of people that will say that most of it is bunk.
Well, I think you're seeing that change. First of all, clearly this is the kind of medicine people want. And increasingly, medical schools, medical institutions are just being forced by economics to acknowledge that there are other things out there that work.
Well, we're going to talk about some of those things, what's safe, what really works, yeah. Because I tell you, I knew somebody who was on a treatment, a Chinese tea, for like a year and a half. If something doesn't get better in a year and a half, how do you know if it's going to be the tea or not? All right, it's 27 past 866-303-2270. Our guest is Dr. Andrew Weil. If you have questions, we're going to get into safe alternative medicine in just a second. Stay with us. Past the hour, it's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
Our guest is Dr. Andrew Weil. His new book is Healthy Aging, A Lifelong Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual Well-Being. We've got calls lined up with questions for Dr. Weil. But before that, I take a call. What do you know about adaptogens?
Adaptogens are also called tonics. These are non-toxic natural products. You take them regularly, they increase general resistance, immunity, resistance to stress. They're good things. Ginseng is an adaptogen.
What about these Siberian adaptogens that come out of the tundra in Russia? Do you know anything about them?
Yeah, there's one called Arctic Root or Rhodiola.
Uh-huh.
It's good. It's worth trying. It people say it gives them mental energy, sexual energy.
Oh, I hate when
Ooh, where can I get it?
I hate when my dad tries. I'll tell you where you can get it. My dad will sell you a box of it.
Uh-huh.
You want a box of it? I can hook you up with a box of it tomorrow.
Yeah?
All right. Helena in New Jersey. What's on your mind? You got a question for Dr. Weil?
Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
You're all great.
But thank you.
I'm stressed out of my mind and I'm eating like crazy.
Mm.
Any recommendations?
Well, you know, my favorite stress-reducing exercises are breathing techniques. They're really simple. They're free. They take no equipment. They're very time-efficient. You'll find them in my book or on my website, drweil.com. Very simple stuff. I would recommend that you work with the relaxing breath that you'll find in there. And when you get a craving for food, before you act on it, do the breathing technique. It takes about 30 seconds, and it'll help you with cravings.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. You were doing it.
How do you do it?
The basic. You want to make
like
your
yoga breath
deeper, quieter, slower, more regular.
That was too quiet, though.
Deeper exhalation. But there's a specific relaxing technique that I teach that's easy to learn.
But I have to buy the book to figure it out.
There you go.
All right, here we go. David in New York City, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing? I want to challenge one of your assumptions. I believe that it's possible to live forever, and I think that we should try to do that. And it seems like your call to gracefully age just seems stupid. I'd rather try to become immortal.
Can I ask you one question, David, before he addresses that? Let's picture year 300. Don't you think you'd be bored out of your nut?
No, absolutely not. I think that the goal of our existence as human beings is to figure out the cure to death.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your thanks.
That's an interesting point. The first chapter of my book is called Immortality. And I would like you to read that, David. It looks at the concept of immortality on a lot of different levels, from the cellular level up to the experiential level. And I think you'll find it's a very difficult, very difficult concept. And I don't think anybody would really want to be immortal.
Well, you
don't you think that's the goal of modern medicine?
Well, I think it is a false goal of modern medicine. I mean, there are many doctors out there who think that death is the enemy, and their primary business is to fight it, and that's one of the things that leads to these terrible outcomes in hospitals today, where people are maintained alive in terrible states that nobody really wants. And
with respect to aging, wouldn't you call aging just a disease that we haven't found?
Absolutely not. I think aging is a natural process. Everything ages. Animals age, plants age, mountains age,
well,
stars age.
What's natural?
Sicknesses and viruses are natural as well. I find them to be repugnant, and I want to get rid of them. So, I mean, I feel like aging, it looks like a disease.
Well, thanks for calling, David.
Wait a minute. I don't understand something about his logic, though. I mean, why wouldn't he just want to be six then forever? I mean, if you're talking about aging doesn't start when you get old.
Aging starts
when you're born.
At conception.
You know, well, the interesting thing about what he's talking about is I think that's also a misconception about the way the business of modern medicine is constructed.
Absolutely.
The conception that there's no money in curing death. I mean, modern medicine It makes a lot of money off of dying people, unfortunately, and makes a lot of money off of treatments as opposed to really facilitating cures.
Right. But, you know, there are doctors out there who say just this, that aging is a disease that's now treatable. I think that's absolutely wrong.
But that's a racket, too, as you were saying.
Exactly.
We had a story in our stories yesterday about a guy who, you know, intellectually and scientifically, you can make a pretty good case on paper that there are, you know, sciences and there are practices dedicated to alleviating aging by replacing organs, by replenishing cellular structure.
Yeah.
That theoretically it's possible, but is it really possible?
Oh, is that the 1,000-year guy?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically it's a nice idea, but you imagine how weird your skin would look after about 200 years? I mean, even if it's replenishing itself, it's going to get weird dirt on it.
I want new.
Huh?
I want new.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why can't they just pop our brain out and stick it into a better body? Where's that one? Let's talk to Doris in Long Island. Good morning, Doris.
Hey, Doris.
Good morning, Dr. Weil.
Hi.
I have read your books, and I am really very impressed. I'm a very active, still working, 71-year-old woman. I cut my own grass, et cetera, et cetera. The past year, I have really had some severe arthritic pains, and I've been trying to work through it. Currently, I started taking glucosamine plus MSM, and I'm feeling a little better, and I'm wondering, is it mind over matter? Is it really effective? I know it's rather controversial in terms of its effectiveness, et cetera. And the second part of that is there anything else I can do to work through it?
Well, glucosamine is well researched, and I think you know, it does appear to be effective at regenerating cartilage. I think it's a useful thing to take. There's also a very good natural anti-inflammatory remedy that makes use of ginger and turmeric and other herbs, and this works quite well. One product out there is called Zyflamend that I often recommend. You can find this in health foods. Zyflamend.
Okay.
A good thing to use. And then, you know, there are other things such as exercising and water.
Well, I do that. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
As I said, I'm you know, really very involved in movement and exercising, and as I said, I still work.
Good. And you have a young sounding voice. So this is good.
That's good. You're a fighter. Thank you for calling, Doris.
Thanks a lot for calling, Doris.
Yeah, well, that's that thing we were talking about before, that part inside of you.
That's the same.
If you keep that spirit inside of you young on some level and don't surrender to bitterness and self-pity.
Exactly.
Yeah, because self-pity, that's a bad one.
Because
self-pity causes cancer that looks like your parents right inside you.
What?
So let's take another call. This is interesting. People are being helped. I like that. Becky in Asheville, where Riley just was. How are you, Becky?
Hi, Becky.
Hi. Good morning, Dr. Wallace.
Morning.
I'm privileged to talk with you. My dad is 85 years old, and his integrative medicine doctor, James Biddle in Asheville, recommended hormone replacement therapy for him because he tested low in testosterone.
Right.
Doc Biddle said it could really help his energy level and his mood because he's been even more grumpy and tired than usual in the last year or so. But Dad's conservative primary care doctor said, no, don't worry about it, that's just normal aging. And my mom has questions about it because of the controversy about her own hormone replacement therapy.
All right, I'm glad you're thoughtful about this. I would say that there are other approaches for diminishing energy in that age that I would try before I'd take hormones. For example, there's a Chinese mushroom called cordyceps, C-O-R-D-Y-C-E-P-S. You can get this in any health food store and in capsules or liquid, and this is has been widely used in China for low energy debilitation due to old age and injury or illness. It's non-toxic, non-harmful. I would try something like that before I would try hormone replacement.
Because of possible dangers?
Because giving testosterone can produce risks. It can increase risks of prostate cancer. It can increase risks of coronary heart disease. I'd be careful about it. Hormones have very general effects.
Well, okay, anything else you'd recommend for an 85-year-old man with congestive heart failure, diabetes, and bad arthritis?
Wow. You don't want much, do you?
Well, cordyceps would be great. That won't interfere with any of those conditions. And, you know, if you look on my website, drweil.com, look up those conditions, you'll find a lot of suggestions there that may be useful.
I'll do that.
Another one would be the antioxidant CoQ10. This is very good for congestive heart failure.
He's on that.
Okay, good.
He did do the full testing, you know, yep. And there was a lot of other things tried. This came up because he was tested and it was shown that the testosterone was really low.
Right.
And so he was going to give him, it's the kind that you get in a cream that's common.
Yeah, I know. I just would be cautious. I would try cordyceps first.
Thanks for your call, Becky.
Thanks, Becky.
Well, you know what? Okay, so before we wrap up here, we're talking to Andrew Weil, Dr. Andrew Weil. His new book is Healthy Aging, Lifeline Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual Well-Being. So what are some mistakes that people make? Because I heard you really sort of advising this woman to be careful before she goes the sort of the most extreme
right.
Western medical approach to the problem that her father was having. So now what are some of the basic mistakes that most people make, and what supplements should we be on every day?
I think everyone should take a good multivitamin, multimineral.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think one of the lowest cost public health interventions the government could make would be to give every school kid a free multivitamin, you know, tablet a day.
Uh-huh.
That would make a huge, you know, especially in poor communities, micronutrient deficiency is widespread. It could make a huge difference in learning ability and growth and development. It would be a great thing.
But Flintstone's good?
That's fine. But there's anything is better than nothing. They're
what about cod liver oil? Is that any good?
You know, I was forced to take that when
Me
I was
too.
A kid. It was probably very good for us because, you know, it was a source of omega-3 fatty acids, which most of us are deficient
what
in.
What about wheat?
There's better. You want to get fish oil, which is better than cod liver
cod
oil.
Liver.
But,
what about wheat germ? I got to ask you about that because I got force-fed that along with the cod
I give it to my dogs. It's good. It's got vitamin E. It's good. If you like it, you know, it's...
I heard vitamin E was a bunch of hokum.
Oh, the New York Times was completely irresponsible in putting that on the front page. That was bad research. It should never have been reported.
I've heard that the New York Times has been irresponsible. Well, thanks for being on. Which multivitamin do I take? Do you remember? You know, I only take...
Do I remember?
Yeah.
I don't live with you.
I do live at your house. You didn't realize that? I'm the guy in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. Wellness formula is what I take.
That sounds fine.
Look at that.
There you go.
It was that easy. It's got wellness in the title. That must be good. Well, thank you, Dr. Weil, for being here. Again, the book, Healthy Aging, A Lifelong Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual Well-Being. Good luck with the rest of it.
Thank you.
Okay, take
Thanks
care. 45 past the hour. We will be back with Mark Green.
Morning Sedition.
It's just to wake up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley in conjunction with Air America Radio Productions is pleased to present the following guest. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, fasten your seatbelts and prepare yourselves to be rocked, rocked, rocked. Now entering the studio is the man who joins us each and every Wednesday. 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 He's president of the New Democracy Project and the co-author of the book on Bush. In 2001, he was the Democratic nominee for New York City Mayor. Mayor. Make some noise for the monster of Midtown, the Goliath of Gotham, Mark Green.
All right, Mark. There you are. Nice to see you.
How you doing?
That introduction turns on my wife, and we've been married 28 years.
We're trying to help. So, Mark, this is a very interesting thing you were saying as we were coming in about how the public, how the press is presenting federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. And you said that it reminds you of Nader.
In the 1960s, when Nader was first coming on the scene, and I worked with him for 10 years.
Yeah.
1970 to 1980, he was this extremely smart, extremely righteous, extremely hardworking, 20-hour a day, 7-day a week guy who was incorruptible, a kind of consumer Elliot Ness. I had never seen a prosecutor get this kind of laudatory attention so early, and we're on the brink, probably, I don't have inside access. But everybody is basically acknowledging there won't be one, but there'll be a batch of indictments. And the problem for Bush and company is usually they blame John Kerry, Al Franken, and Morning Sedition for their problems. Here,
I wish we got blamed. We could use the press.
How are they going to do their normal Karl Rove smear and fear attack on Patrick Fitzgerald, who seems to be a choir boy?
Well, they're going to take a lot of shots at him. But I think the big one is that the criminalization of politics frame, that he's not really prosecuting, you know, what the crime was. But I don't think any of it's going to stick, really.
Well, that's the devil's advocate argument, and you do poorly at it. Mark, you imitate Rush Limbaugh and Senator Hutchison poorly.
Yeah.
Nice try. Look, these people, the right wing, said that lying about sex was the worst thing imaginable and should lead to impeachment of a president. Apparently lying about war and 2,000 deaths yesterday and probably 30,000 wounded,
yeah,
double the number reported if you count disease and accidents, mm-hmm, is just a technicality. Sorry, this is so...
They're dismissing it. That's absolutely right. That the way they treated Clinton over that over the sexual escapades was as if he'd committed some heinous crime. And these guys are trying to dismiss exactly what you're
Look,
saying.
Look, we're on Air America. I'm a partisan Democrat. But we all have to be careful. Indictment doesn't equal conviction.
That's what Riley's been saying.
Yep.
However, such just desserts. Over the years, if you read Bush's brain about Karl Rove and you speak to Jim Hightower, who was smeared out of politics in Texas.
Moore, too, was pushed out of journalism because
absolutely.
Of
yeah. These people, when they have an opponent like John McCain,
yeah,
who's seriously in their way, suddenly he has a bastard African-American child, which is just a fiction to slow him down in South Carolina. Well, now their normal activity of lying and smearing, they forgot, or they didn't think ahead, that there would be a special counsel virtuously applying the law to see if they lied or tampered with witnesses or obstructed justice in this investigation. And finally, 3 decades later, chickens are coming home to roost.
So who you got? Who's going down? Who's getting indicted?
Well, I think it's not just Libby and Rove, but their national security advisors to the president, Hadley, and to Cheney.
That's what Riley's been saying.
I've been saying Hadley.
There you go. And basically, anybody who looked like they were potentially covering up, because there's a good chance, again, we have to wait for a jury to say it, not a radio commentator's to say it. There's a good chance that when they use their normal MO, which is when trapped, to spin and lie. Now, in politics, lying is not a sin. If it were, I mean, you know, I don't know how many.
There'd be a lot of people in hell.
We could all be in the Senate and House because no one else would be. But it is pursuant to an investigation. And so this is a great irony that they've finally been caught. Now, Dick Cheney, forgive me, is a walking lie. He says we know where WMD is. He says Al-Qaeda and Saddam's folks met in Prague. They didn't. And then he denies ever saying it in a presidential debate. And then there are tapes showing he said it.
They'll do anything to maintain power.
Well, in this instance, it may take them from power. So for my children who are 26 and 21, I'm guessing this is their Watergate.
Okay.
This week is their Watergate.
It's my Watergate. I was kind of too young for the first one. Mark Green, thank you for your insight.
Appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
I appreciate
SmackDown Wednesday.
There you,
you
go.
Got it. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. A new survey titled Faith and Family in America shows Americans are becoming more accepting of divorce, cohabitation, and non-traditional families. Only 22% of Americans see divorce as a sin. Unless you're married to Liza Minnelli, then it's self-defense. 50% of Americans now see cohabitation as acceptable. The other 50% are pissed off girlfriends who keep saying things like, stop treating me like a whore! All right. Secret codes and some laser printers facilitate tracking by the government, ostensibly to catch counterfeiters. A Secret Service spokesman said, quote, the coding system doesn't really affect people who Xerox their buttocks and fax them to each other. We've already determined that those people are just idiots. Experts say the codes could be used to crack down on dissidents, protesters, and those morons who put up flyers everywhere for their yard sale. A new study shows much lower incidence of heart disease among workers who think they're treated fairly by their boss.
Some encouraging news. A study also found that having an unfair boss can shorten the lifespan of that unfair boss, usually by a shooting incident. Having an unfair boss can shorten your life, which is why I may die soon. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. 2,000 Americans killed in Iraq. Wake up, sheeple, while you still can wake up, sheeple.
There you go.
Mark Green, thank you. Nice seeing you.
Good seeing you, Mark. Now, tomorrow, we've got the woman who took the weight for Abu Ghraib. We're going to have General Janet Karpinski in with us. She's going to tell us a little bit about that. We're also going to talk with Congresswoman Maxine Waters from California, plus Johnny K Street and Bruce Cherry's pick of the week, Marin.
Pitch of the week. That's
can
right.
your heart stand it?
I can't.
Ray, we'll be back tomorrow. All it was right. a good one, Marin.
Yep, it was.
Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.